B-Pod Studios.
Four o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. Great jaw dropping outdoor paradise. Check him out online at landisbc.com. Ben Simmons made a three-pointer last night. Dynamic moment in preseason. You know, you think about the moments that preseason light you up, right? You can't think of any. Last night, you're always going to remember it. First one that the guy has made.
Yep. I'm going to always remember.
Think about that for a second. Think about that.
Yeah.
This is the first three-pointer the dude has made. He's a star in the league. Seem a little odd to you?
Yes, odd, but he's a unique player with a unique skill set and soon to be a real MVP candidate.
I'll tell you.
Coming in 2 weeks from now.
The moment it was about to happen was really cool because you could just see, you could kind of see the look on his face like, all right, here it goes.
Yeah. And he's dribbling it out like,
it was great.
He was trying to get his balance. So
everybody just stood up.
Watching the clock to make sure it's a buzzer beater.
Yeah, it was good.
Everybody on his team yelling, shoot it.
Yep. Yeah. Joel was like, come on.
That kind of pressure, I can give him credit because there's a lot of pressure on that shot.
Everybody's staring.
Yeah, everybody's staring. Everybody's telling you, shoot. If you miss it, it creates a completely different narrative, doesn't it?
It does.
It almost slowed down?
It did.
It really did.
And the bad part
is, it was cool.
I don't know if it picked up on TV because we're sitting there. Every time he touched the ball, there was fans yelling, shoot it. He's bringing the ball up. He's passing it to Tobias Harris, who's wide open.
I heard a couple boos. When he took it to the basket. There was a couple of rumbles.
There's other guys.
They were acting like it was like a power play. Shoot.
Like the Flyers fans tonight.
Flyers hockey. You like them tonight? They're favored.
No, I do like them. I think they beat up on those Devils. Yeah. And now they'll be 2-0 and then on their way to the playoffs.
The hapless Devils? the Devils have no hap.
The way he trained back in the city. Yeah. There was actually a good piece on NBC Sports Philly I was reading about. Everybody loved Wayne Train.
Yeah, he was definitely beloved.
Jordan wrote
in the Orange of the Black.
Yeah, like they'll give him an ovation tonight. Will they put a thing on the new board?
Highlights? I'd be shocked if they didn't.
Probably do that.
And apparently people say it's worth going just to see this board. Because this will be the first time we get to see what it really does. Because last night was just like an appetizer. Can I get down there? Jason didn't give me my credential in time, like he usually does.
He didn't give me one either.
I would like kind of want to go down there.
Is Jason the credential man?
Yeah, with the Flyers.
Is he?
Yeah.
The knapsack of credentials he's going to pass out to everybody?
Well, he handles the meeting.
He's Mr. Flyer. Yeah. Let's go to Josh in Audubon. Josh, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Josh.
You know it's bad when the point guard of the Gangju Loon Lions is telling his defender to back up when Ben Simmons has the ball.
Was he doing that?
Yeah, you watched it again.
The nerve on that little rat playing for that lousy Chinese team.
You might remember the name. It was Kyle Fogg, the guard from Arizona, maybe eight, nine years ago.
I saw his name in the roster, Kyle Fogg.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. And that's what I noticed when I watched the replay a lot. It's so funny. But for me, you know, I'm watching the game on the couch, and it was a moment. I felt like I was there. Like, you can hear the people yell, shoot, and I'm standing up with them. And after it goes in, all that, rah-rah, okay, and then I'm over it. Because that's all it was. It was a moment. There's not going to be a time for the rest of Ben Simmons' career where he's going to have the ball with 4 seconds left, up 50. You know,
there might be a moment when they're up two or down two.
Yeah, but in those moments, Joel Embiid at the top of the key and Alex Burke in the corner aren't going to be waving at him saying, "Shoot, don't give it to me." Shoot,
Trey Burke.
You know, It was cool to see. Alex Burks is in the league, but it's Trey Burke. Jason Richardson, Josh Richardson, what's the difference?
But
it was a moment. It was cool to see. Hopefully it's like a monkey off his back, but I'm in agreement with you. It's got to be inside out. We don't want him jacking threes up right now. We want him making that elbow jumper.
No. It's okay that he jacked up three. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying is that needs to happen in an actual game.
In a flow, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, in the flow of a game is the only time that they're going to come out and guard him and thereby open up the floor. That shot, you think that now teams are going to go, oh, my God, he made a three, now we got to guard him. They're not gonna, that's not going to influence them. One shot.
Yeah, the Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics are hunkered down.
Make them make the shot.
Right now.
Here's the strategy, saying, fellas. Let them make a couple shots before we spread our D. Let's see if we can do that.
Can I get a general knowledge?
Yes, you may. We're in general knowledge. It's a general knowledge category question. Here is the question. What is the... All right. Well, hold on a second. Wow, these are odd questions. All right. What is the most famous trophy in the sport of yacht racing?
I should know this. I was on one of those.
Well, there you go.
I did the San Francisco one under the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yacht racing. What's the trophy? What's the guy's name that brought the... He brought the trophy home. There was one guy that was famous for the yachting. It's America's Cup. What was that guy's name? He was like a yachter his whole life, and he won the
Connor?
America's Cup. Was his name Connor?
Yeah, that's what Jason thinks. It kind of sounds familiar. It used to be on ESPN every year back then.
It was.
When he brought it back, I remember watching it on TV. Yeah. I was watching I knew what was going on.
What
the guys were all
name?
Pulling the ropes and all that, like easing the sheet. Is that what it's called, boat people?
I never had
boat money. But she eased the sheet, something like that.
What is it? What do you ease the sheet?
I think that's something with the sail.
When did they win the America's Cup?
Was that like 88, 89?
No, I don't know.
90, somewhere in that. It had to be one of those 3 years.
Now I'm blanking out because there was a gun guy.
Dennis Connor.
Dennis Connor?
Yeah, Boone.
That's his name?
Boone
got him? Martinez got him, too.
Yeah, he did.
He just said Connor.
And it was 87.
You thought it was James Conner. Stop it.
Or Jimmy.
Yeah. That was Jimmy Dennis Conner.
And it was 87. So I was in that same range. I was in the right range.
Yeah, the guy was like a bourgeois yachtist his whole life, and he won the America's Cup.
Good for him.
Yeah, he was.
I was rooting for him at the time, like, USA. I didn't know. USA. USA. Didn't know what was watching.
That's awesome. Michael and Wayne. Michael, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Michael.
Hey, Mike, it's been a while.
What's up, bud?
I was listening to you and Sal yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and Sal brought up Frank Reich, and my sons go crazy. You know, we're always together mm-hmm. on Sundays, and one of them said to me, you know, this is kind of just like the same old from last year. And it occurred to me that Aguilar, you're giving up on him, and I think you've said it that way. And it seems to me Sanders, and I'd like to see two backs every once in a while coming out, and look at Sanders to be a slot or just movement, and get something different than what we're looking at all the time, the same old stuff.
Well, first of all, let's get your first point. What are you trying to say about Aguilar?
Well, I'm saying Aguilar pretty much is like out.
That's because he stinks.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you got to put somebody back in there.
Well, you don't have another slot receiver, so like they cooked their own goose here. This is like backing themselves into a corner like the Phillies did with the rotation. They decided to bring him back for $9 million a year. They don't have a backup for that position.
Well,
so they're hoping occasionally he'll make a play.
But that's why I'm saying I'd like to see Sanders be in that situation.
You see, like as a slot receiver, it's hard to put that responsibility on a rookie player because he doesn't really know how to run patterns in the slot. Yeah, but you have to know how to run routes in the slot. Like,
no, I understand.
He's a guy who comes out of the backfield with the one route. He runs that route. He comes out of the backfield in a loop, and that's you don't have to worry about the route and making sharp cuts and knowing where a guy's playing you and finding a seam in the zone. That's all skilled.
Yeah, I guess so.
The wheel route is what a running back runs.
But it's something. I mean, like. All these guys that are in the slots now were either, most of them were like in the backfield.
Not really.
Well.
They really weren't.
Well,
they're smaller guys, but they were receivers.
Well, that's the one guy from the Patriots, what were that? And not the quarterback, but the other guy.
Patriots guys were receivers.
Yeah.
All right, man. You want a general knowledge question, bro?
Give me a shot.
All right. This is a movie set in Texas. All right, let's go with this one here. Astronauts have a problem. Houston mission controllers must fix it.
Apollo 13.
That is correct. Starring none other than the great thespian, Kevin Bacon. No, Tom Hanks.
He was good in that. Did you like that movie?
Very good. Yes, it was very good. Very good movie. In fact, I think I had it. Like, it's one of the like DVDs that I had. Yeah. Apollo 13 is one of them.
It's a great film.
Yes, it is. Very, very exciting. You're on the edge of your seat.
You are.
Yes. Suzanne in Mount Airy. Hello, Suzanne.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Suzanne. How you doing?
I'm hanging in. Good. Okay, so my frustration was so bad that I was outside pulling weeds in the rain.
It's really funny. I did a little weed whacking in the rain this morning.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't know. I like it. Maybe we had the itch.
Maybe we do, but my dog was like, can you please come in? I kept hearing about Ben, and I kept pulling my weeds.
Well, there you go. You had the dog outside while you were pulling the weeds?
I did. She wasn't happy, but she was out.
Oh, she doesn't like the rain?
No. She's a snob.
Yeah. My dog's a freak. I had to leave my dog inside as I was doing the weed whacking because my dog tries to eat the weed whacker. Yes, with no regard to lip cutting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not that way. She's pretty bright, but she's a snob.
Wait, you saying my dog's not bright?
Go
ahead, Suzanne.
So, I think, you know, I've played basketball all my life, right?
Uh-huh.
So, when I keep hearing him about this shot, it's driving me insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. I mean, it's like me scoring a layup. That's my job. You know, that was my job. That's why I was in there. You know, I didn't get a parade every time I had a shot. driving me nuts.
Yeah, there's different strokes for different folks. This is not a guy who was used to making jump shots because he never had to. Right? Now, I find it peculiar as well that the guy was paralyzed in taking shots. Not only making them, but taking them. I find it's a very odd circumstance. But I am willing to wipe the slate clean here and allow for progress.
But let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were playing a game for 3 years, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And this was the first time you made a three-pointer.
Yeah.
Really? That's what we got?
It's a little bit embarrassing. It is. I was wondering how he would have felt about it. When he's, because it is a lot of ways like, yay, yeah, so-and-so made a dookie, you know?
Exactly.
I get it.
You know, I played for Speedy, and if I wasn't doing my job, I was on the bench.
Yes.
He didn't care.
Yeah, but it's different to be a pro player with the talent of Ben Simmons who can score at will anytime he wants, right? That he didn't need to make the shot. But now he kind of does.
All right. Well, I was the person who used to call in and say, oh, my lizards, instead of cursing.
Yes.
So needless to tell you, I've been screaming that into the phone.
All right. Suzanne, you want a general knowledge question? I don't know what your hockey knowledge is like.
Non-existent.
All right. Well, would you like something else?
That would be awesome.
All right. This is in songs. Top jobs mentioned in song lyrics.
Okay.
So I'll give you the lyric, and you give me what profession we're talking about here. I'm hot for blank. I'm hot for blank.
That's a violation.
You don't know the profession?
No, call me Ben.
No, wow, Suzanne coming up small. I'm hot for teacher.
Terrible song, but everybody knows it.
Of course.
A terrible song.
Yeah, that's the one they played in Varsity Blues when Miss Davis was on stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What? That's Miss Davis.
All right, let's go to Wanda in Mount Airy. Wanda, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Wanda.
Hi.
Hello, Wanda.
I called a couple of weeks ago, and you called me a fish called Wanda.
Yes, I did. I remember. We don't get many Wandas.
I'm always going to call about the Phillies.
Okay.
This is just who I am.
That's okay. Sorry. It's okay. The Phillies are a topical point.
So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your thoughts about Andy McPhail. I know everybody's talking about Kapler, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago. I want to understand your perspective on McPhail. First of all, I'm really glad that it's a PHAIL, because to me, that we could do a hashtag epic fail with the PH. I think that he has messed. Do you remember when he called over you? He's horrible.
Well, here's what I think of Andy McPhail, without being too malicious. I think Andy McPhail is a man at this stage of his life who is just content to take a big check.
Yeah.
I don't think he really does a lot. I think that he has this so-called protege that he delegates all this stuff to, and he's like sitting in a big leather chair.
He's Mr. Fail. And do you remember when he called? I don't listen to you every day, but I listen to you pretty frequently. And he called in around the time where they could have been making moves in the midseason. And he was basically really comfortable saying to the fans, you know,
if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So I'm fine with talking about Kapler and others. And I do think that those are legitimate, you know, mm-hmm. conversations. I'm really struck by, I got an email from the Phillies, want to do early, you know, sort of season tickets. I'm going to love the Phillies and I'm going to go there and I'm going to watch them. But I guess my bigger point is he really thumbed his nose in front of the fans and had no problem with it.
Yeah, he did. And that's the arrogance of a man who's comfortable knowing he has a job.
My last question is, and I'm really, really angry about the fact that both the Atlanta and Washington is in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They both have, you know, sort of the final game.
Yes.
Because they've pushed it to 5 games.
Yes.
Do you have thoughts? I mean, not that anybody's going to hold you to predictions. I don't think I'm going to be in bedridden if they both win.
They're both not going to win.
They are?
No. Okay. The Dodgers are going to be in the World Series.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm watching the Dodgers the other day, and I'm going, what makes their people be able to recognize talent, whereas the Phillies can't recognize anything? I'm looking at the cannons they throw out there from their system. Bellinger, Peterson, Seager. Like, all these guys discovered by human eyes. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's mm-hmm. discouraging.
Human eyes. There was a scout that said that dude can play.
Yeah, and they got a bunch of bombers. Mm-hmm. A bunch of guys that just hit. Yeah. And a bunch of pitchers, although that's their one Achilles heel. But
Philly selected Mickey Moniak and Adam Haseley. I know they're your boys.
Well, I don't know why you're doing Haseley like that.
Bellinger and Peterson and Seager. See the difference?
Yeah, I see. Moniak's not those guys.
All right.
Haseley, I don't know yet.
So, what is he, Bellinger?
Find out.
You see Bellinger?
Let's give him a little time.
You see Bellinger?
What if he's a guy that's hitting 300 and playing great defense? He might be a 300 hitter in this league. Let's give it a minute.
Come on, man.
300.
Don't test me. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.4:30, it's time. We didn't do the update in our 3:30 hour because we had Carabao. But this is a very important update on our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And now he's chomping at the bit to give you the numbers.
Oh, I can't wait, Mike. We have over 1,600 votes on this one. Does the three-point shot from last night change your opinion on Ben Simmons? 42% say yes, 58% say no. So it's actually kind of close.
58% say no, it doesn't change their opinion.
Yes.
Well, I didn't expect that.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pessimism around.
So much pessimism.
Not last night, after the shot, not on social media, people were going nuts.
Nah, but there was also a whole bunch of people who were going out of their way to be negative and tell people not to be excited. So it's out there.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it. I usually know, but to me, it was like 20 to 1. That's not a surprise.
No, I saw it.
Really?
Yeah, maybe they were all just aiming for me because I was so excited. But
Well, maybe they've had time to think about it today and realize that, you know, he's got to do it in the game.
Yes, but this is my problem with that
thinking.
That's
great, Tyrone. I love the way that one shot won you over.
Yeah.
I love it.
I've been thinking he's going to shoot it I've been saying it all summer long. But had he not shot it would have been very significant. He shoots one and makes it, and there's no significance at all. People have got themselves in such a way to where they can't be wrong. And then when the season starts, if they win the first game against Boston by 20, but he doesn't shoot, he didn't shoot. So it matters. If they disrespect him in the regular season, this was my only sentence. Not that he's necessarily going to always shoot in the flow. When he's disrespected, I believe he'll shoot it. And I think that you don't have to make a whole lot for to get them to not disrespect you. 25% and they don't disrespect you. And that's what I think is going to happen. I don't think that's really going that far out on a limb.
I think you have this gene in your brain that carries you like to a different level of enthusiasm.
No, I'm not enthusiastic.
Which is a really paradox. It's a paradox for you because you are a miserable grump a lot of times. But you are willing to go like so far with like accomplishment. Like you could see a guy slip off a 10-meter platform at a community pool, and then when he gets out of the water, you call him Greg Louganis. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
But he's all or nothing.
He is.
You're all or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well.
That is actually true.
All right. I got a hypothetical for you.
All right.
Purely a hypothetical. Now, suppose you're a guy, you make a visit to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Okay.
And as you're entering the ground floor to go up the escalator to get to Bed Bath & Beyond, you see a very attractive blonde woman getting a key made at the key maker.
Okay, the kiosk.
This is a hypothetical?
It's a total hypothetical.
Gotcha. Okay.
Suppose you're a guy, you walk into a Bed Bath & Beyond. As soon as you walk in, there's this very attractive blonde who's getting a key made at the kiosk.
All right.
And just say that it turns the guy's head for a moment. And the guy gets one of those.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes up the escalator and thinks nothing of it and does his business at Bed Bath & Beyond. And when the guy gets out and he's got his little bag of stuff and he walks to his car and he starts his car and he drives out of the parking lot, and coincidentally, on the path out of the parking lot, it's the same woman loading her car with a couple throw rugs.
All right, hypothetically. Okay.
The hypothetical guy sees her again and is very attracted. And what does the guy do at that point? Does he continue to drive out of the lot, or does he stop and say something?
Here's the tough part, Mike, with that. Cars, if you're walking in the lot, go over, say, do whatever you want. Shoot your shot. In the car, keep on going.
Yeah.
The car adds a creep factor.
Sure does.
If she's out of the car and you're in the car and you go over to her, in my opinion, hypothetically, that adds a creep factor. If you're just walking in the parking lot to your car, not creepy at all.
As a woman, if someone came up to me in their car, I'd probably run.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
To say something, I would definitely instantaneously be like, no.
Now, what you could do is...
it's a really nice Mercedes.
Come on. I'm just kidding. I love the laugh track.
I'm just kidding.
No. If she didn't see you and you could park real quick and fold like you were walking.
Did she see you and you could park?
Did hypothetical
woman make eye contact with hypothetical man while the key was being made?
In the hypothetical, the woman doesn't make eye contact.
Oh.
Okay.
The hypothetical guy has just noticed the woman.
Okay. So, hypothetically, I think if there was an interaction in store, then it would give you more leeway outside of store. Or hypothetical man.
Right, in the car.
Yeah,
but
in the
car. Walking, you can say hi because you're just being friendly.
Hey, how you doing? Nice rugs.
I think you're uttering the sensible, logical answer to this question. But the backdrop of the karmatic backdrop is that suppose this is your soulmate and you're passing up on it.
I'm just saying,
hypothetically.
Okay, but you can always shoot your shot. But when you do it in that way, you have to then realize that your chances of landing that soulmate has dropped considerably.
Hypothetically, later on in life,
yeah,
it becomes a charming dinner time story for other people on how you met.
All right. Well, if hypothetical man is going to use his car in this situation, hypothetical man has to be creative with what he's going to say from the car, because catcalling from a car is no bueno. I doubt there's ever a woman.
Well, in this hypothetical case, the man would obviously know what to say.
Okay, well then that...
And wouldn't come off like...
But if you drive by, she's rolling the rug.
Something like, you know...
If you're in a car...
Gavone from the hills.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, baby.
What I'm saying is, if you drive by, I don't know what the good line is. If you roll the window down in the car, she's on the ground.
How about
foot.
Hypothetically honest? Honesty.
You say...
Well, then that's fine.
Hello, I think you're beautiful. No, you wouldn't say
I think you're beautiful. Well,
what do you say?
Heard that a million times.
So you're not telling her the truth, because that's the only reason you're approaching her, is because you thought she was beautiful.
Wait, so what's the hypothetical approach?
Yeah, what is the
approach? Asking you what the approach. I am just creating a hypothetical. I'm trying to have a man and woman's opinion on it. So I was after there.
I think Ty can just...
These are my favorite in the world. This is our second one.
I know.
We gotta get these more often.
Go back to the phones. Rick in Southwest Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick.
Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Rick?
How you doing, man?
Good. What's up, Rick?
Let me take a second to say hi, Natalie. Tyrone. Now I want to get on Benson.
Go ahead, Rick. You're on, buddy. Go ahead. What's your point? What's your point on Ben?
With Ben, everybody was so this jump shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But first, I want to make the point. Russell Westbrook and Giannis Antetokounmpo just won the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking the backboard with bricks. Now, Rajon Rondo, at one time considered the best point guard in the NBA. No jump shot. So when everybody was worked up about Ben, I was kind of like, I'm not that worried. The three-point thing, I really wasn't that worried about it, because it's like, I mean, we could win without him shooting. We could win a championship without him shooting three.
Let me ask you a question. Did they win last year?
No, but him shooting a three-pointer wasn't
out. Oh, wait a minute. Like, do you remember some games in the playoffs where he had no offensive output at all?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, we're talking about enhancing a guy's game, which enhances the team game because it spreads the floor more.
Absolutely, Mike. I'm not saying don't shoot the three-pointer, Ben. My thing was for us to get so worked up about it.
I agree. The three-pointer means nothing to me. The medium-range jump shot means everything to me.
Okay,
I don't need the three. I agree with you. I need the medium range. In the flow of an offense, when he gets the ball and his brain stops him from thinking about shooting the ball and he tries to take it to the basket and gums himself up, I'm trying to avoid that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you figure if we'd addressed even the defense better, then we would have got further. So with the three-point thing, like you said, you appreciate the mid-range jump shot more. It's almost the analogy I use. You guys don't get worked up on Steph Curry when he don't dunk. Steph can't dunk.
Yeah, but he can also take an advantage. He doesn't have to dunk. He takes it to the basket and flips it up and in. But, yeah, I hear what your point is. Now, would you like a general knowledge question? You want to go see Temple game?
Sure. Sure.
All right, man. Here we go. It's the general knowledge category. And I'll go over here. Who is said to stand watch at the pearly gates of heaven?
Saint Peter.
Correct. Saint Pete. Is at the pearly gates of heaven. Here's the thing about the mid-range. This is why I'm so obsessed with it. Because we've seen, how many times have we seen him? He's a whippet on the break, right? And so what do they do? Well, if you can actually gather yourself defensively, you put up a wall to impede his progress to the basket on the break, which is what they all try to do, which is what they try to do on the offensive part of it, too, when they get an ISO, right? So if the 15 to 20 foot jumper comes freely off his hands, they can't do that anymore. That gives the Sixers so many more options to score a basketball. That's all I'm saying. 610-622-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
448, Mike Missinelli Show. Some feedback on the hypothetical I put out there. And one guy said the hypothetical man should have had a key made. But see, the hypothetical man sees attractive women all the time. So it didn't connect with the hypothetical man until the karma factor came in, where coincidentally the hypothetical man was driving out of the parking lot in the same lane that the woman was parked in.
So my brother,
you can't just go get a key made because there's, you know, the hypothetical man sees an attractive lady. There's attractive ladies all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and my brother says he fully agrees with you on this hypothetical. You never know if you could be your soulmate, so you have to say something. Plus, if you have a fly dance, probably work.
What's the worst that could happen to the hypothetical man? He gets shot down?
Yeah.
And drive off.
I suppose.
But they get a key made. The hypothetical man walks in, sees the woman at a kiosk. It's not enough to go get a key made. The attraction has to simmer, and it wouldn't simmer for the hypothetical man until it's the second meeting.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I just, the car thing is just a little suspect, but I mean, I don't know. I would be reticent to talk to anybody who was trying to talk to me from their car.
I think you're right, and I'm not sure, since it's a hypothetical, how the hypothetical man actually reacted.
I think a hypothetical man probably should have, like, parked and then walked over.
That's what I think. Is, yeah. Go ahead and shoot that shot.
A hypothetical
shot.
Man doesn't want to go through that kind of trouble.
Then
she's not a hypothetical man's soulmate.
Well, the hypothetical man is okay with just rolling down a window and saying a couple things.
It's not a soulmate.
Depends what a hypothetical man wants to say from the car.
Right, you don't even have to roll the window.
Let's just assume the hypothetical man is smooth enough to figure out what something to say. The hypothetical man is a conversationalist.
Kind of like at their job,
possibly a hypothetical man could do it for a living, whatever profession he's in.
He so chooses.
Yeah. Tony in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Yo, Mike.
What's up, Tone?
Not much, man. Hey, I had a couple things. Don't you think that Ben Simmons should be shooting more in these preseason games?
I was mildly disappointed that the first half was almost completed and he hadn't taken a jump shot yet. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because listen, any idiot knows that you can get past the people that are defending you. Like, if you play basketball at any level and you got some patsy guarding you, you can get the ball to the basket, right? That's not the challenge.
Yeah. So I
would think that he, you know, once he beat a guy off the dribble three times to get a basket, then maybe he would have looked for another way to score just to sharpen his skills. But that's just me.
Yeah. I just think that he, like, and Brett Brown, I feel like the reason he downplayed it was because I don't really think he has the confidence in him,
yet either. I feel like if he would have, like, been all excited, like everyone's saying, I think that puts more pressure on Ben.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that's exactly what was going through Brett's head.
Yeah.
He was worried about his psyche and right. and his coach making it too much of a big deal.
Exactly. So I think that he doesn't even believe that he's ready. You know, I don't even know. Like, I don't think he's ready.
I might believe it, but I don't think he wanted to draw enough attention to
yeah,
it.
No
he,
attention.
He has downplayed the whole thing anyway. So for him to make a big deal of it after he made one, I think he would be in danger of embarrassing his player. That's what I think he was thinking.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah.
Movie please. Set in Texas. Grand prize, table tickets. All right, I'm going to give you the summary of the movie. I'm going to give you the star of the movie. You tell me the movie.
All right.
If John Voight is your jerk football coach, overthrow him and win the game anyway. Starring James Vanderbeek.
Oh,
mentioned earlier on the program.
Yeah, I know. I heard it. Wow, man. crap.
Dude,
Varsity Blues?
Yes, Tony. Oh. All right, hold on. It's Varsity Blues. How can we forget? And more and more I watch that movie, the more and more I like it. It's a movie that lasts.
It holds up.
It really
does. To me, it holds up better than all the other ones over time.
I think you're right. Vicente in Lansdowne. What's up, Vicente?
Hola, Mike, you miss.
Hola, Vicente. I'm going to give you a hockey question today, try to confuse you.
No way.
All right.
Wait. I don't know nothing about hockey.
What? Nobody, what is it? No hockey. Nobody wants the hockey question today. I have to ignore this category. I'm going to give it to you anyway because it's going to be an obvious one. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, let me make a point. First of all, I heard tomorrow is the 10th anniversary.
Tomorrow is the 10th anniversary show. That is correct. And all of us will be on the air at practically the same time.
You know, this news I heard 10 years ago, a day before the conversion of from an AM to an FM, acquiring ESPN.
Ah,
and I got the source from one of your coworkers in the other radio station. You know, and everybody was excited. You know that 610 was coming on to be 97.5 The Fanatic, and what
it was actually 950. 950 was becoming
right. So yeah. it was a nice. How can I put it? It was a nice way that 10 years had passed and number one in the sports radio.
Well, how about you? I didn't realize that you were a caller on the old 950.
Oh, no.
You weren't?
I was just with WNGK.
Okay.
But it only started with when you were acquired and you were put in there. And I went over and I think you had, the Cincinnati and Phillies player. That is banned from the Hall of Fame. What's his name?
Pete Rose.
Yeah, Pete Rose.
And yeah, we had Pete on a couple times, yes.
Right, and I won a Pete Rose autographed baseball on a random drawing.
Well, how about that?
Up in the Phillies, Citizen Bank Park.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes.
So I got great memories about it.
Beautiful.
10 years.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
Thanks for listening to the station for so long, Vicente. You're a gem.
Oh, definitely. So now, my question to you, if you would be the general manager of the Phillies, John Middleton, you're overthinking about this issue. Are you going to fire or are you going to keep Gabe Kapler? And if you fire Gabe Kapler, are you going to bring Bob Showalter?
Well, I don't know. Listen, there are two scenarios here. I mentioned the one before because this is what I thought was going on, that he wanted to have a manager in place before he actually fired him. The longer this goes on, the more I think he is overthinking it, and he is ambivalent about it because the feedback he's getting from Klemtak not to fire Kapler. So I have no idea what he's thinking right now, but he's coming off as a little weak, to be honest with you.
Yes. But don't you think that Bob Showalter has bringing a lot of experience from the Yankees, the Diamondbacks, the Orioles, the Rangers, and has a connection with Andy McNeil?
Yeah, he does. And I think Buck Showalter is a good manager. I know people are looking at the Orioles. They stink now, but he hasn't been there for a couple of years now. He had them contending at one point in a tough division. Vicente, we got to run. Let me give you a general knowledge question.
Yes, please.
All right. NHL, all-time goal scorers per franchise. If I give you the Pittsburgh Penguins, who is the all-time goal scorer leader in Penguins history?
I had no clue.
Oh, sure you do.
It was
one of the best players in the history of the game.
Okay.
Penguins.
The Penguins, right? No, I
oh, Vicente, coming up small. I gave you a layup. The most novice of hockey fan would be able to get Mario Lemieux, would he not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Vicente coming up small. Who would have known?
That's the whole, he knows a lot of stuff.
He does know
hockey.
A lot of stuff. I could have sworn he would have squeezed out Lemieux here.
Yeah.
All right, 5 o'clock hours ahead on the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and ABC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.